This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to the one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. There is an amazing story told about a man named Ira Sankey. Does anybody know who this guy is? He was a co-evangelist and hymn writer with Dwight Moody. On Christmas Eve in 1875, he was riding on a steamship on the Delaware River. The people on the boat recognized him and asked him to sing. So he sang, but instead of a Christmas carol, he sang, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." When he finished the song, a man came up to him and asked, "Did you ever serve in the Union Army?" Ira Sankey said, "Yes." The man asked, "Can you remember if you were doing a picket duty on a bright moonlit night in 1862? Surprised, Sankey answered, "Yes." The man replied, "Well, so did I. But I was in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I raised my musket and took aim. I was in the shadow completely concealed while the full light of the moon was falling on you. And at that moment, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing, 'Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.'" Same song. The other guy said, "Well, I'll let him sing to the end and I can shoot him afterwards." The man continued, "But the song you sang then was the song you sang just now. I heard the words perfectly. 'We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way.' Those words stirred up many memories. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had many times sung that song to me." The man concluded, "When you had finished your song, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought, 'The Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty.' And my arm of its own accord dropped limp at my side." Ira Sankey was completely unaware that he had been in any danger at that moment, but he was spared certain death. Was all of this a coincidence? That he would sing the same song that he had sung that same night, and that the guy who was ready to take aim and shoot him was present with him on that boat when he was riding on the Delaware River? I don't think so. This was God's sovereign power at work. Figure the odds of Ira Sankey choosing to sing the same song he had sung on the night when he was in the gun sights of a sniper's rifle. God sovereignly protected one of his servants. This story should amaze us, but at the same time, we need to remember that that same power that was at work protecting Ira Sankey is the same power that is at work in our lives, but it was also the same power that was at work in that boat carrying Jesus and his 12 disciples across the lake. Jesus was tired, but at the end of the day's activities, Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side." Now, for the record, all of the teaching in Mark 4 and possibly even some of the last teachings in chapter 3 were all in one day. So what we didn't see in the English text there is the Greek text's sense of urgency. Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And he knew that he needed to go back to the other side of the lake. While they're on the boat, this storm comes up. Now, we've spoken fairly about the reality, even today, that sudden, unpredicted windstorms are a reality on the Lake of Galilee. You see, the Sea of Galilee is below sea level, and the winds that blow from the Mediterranean through the canyons to the west, and the winds that blow through the canyons off the desert to the east, frequently kick up those unforecasted storms. There's this storm battering the sides of the fishing boat that those men are on. And we're given the serious impression that the waves are crashing over the sides and that boat is filling with water. Now, keep in mind that these boats aren't any of those luxury crafts or those yachts or a Holland America cruise line. These were fishing boats on the Lake of Galilee. Now, reading from R.C. Sproul's commentary in Mark and an article yesterday or the day before in a magazine called The Compass, they both report that some folks in Israel found one of these boats buried in the sand on the shores of the lake. And if it's very much like the one that Jesus and his disciples were in, it's pretty small. The Israeli government dated the boat that they found to about the time of Christ. And that boat was 27 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4 feet deep. So it's safe to say that the boat that Jesus and his 12 were riding in was about the same size. And that's fairly small. It just wasn't that big. So can you imagine yourself in one of those wooden marine craft bobbing up and down on the wind-driven waves at night? Your boat is beginning to fill up with water, and there is no end in sight to the storm, and you are bailing water for all you are worth. And the boat is still filling up. You're soaked by the rain. And you look in the back of the boat, and there's Jesus sleeping on a pillow in the back of the boat. Now, there are some points to this story that we can't ignore. First, those were his disciples in the boat with him. Jesus' closest confidants on this earth were in that boat. This tells us that Jesus' servants on this earth are not exempt from the storms of life. We can all identify with that, can't we? The second thing is that Jesus was again in the boat with them. While we're in the troubles of this life, Jesus is again, and I'm repeating, right there with us. He's there. Even as those waves seem to pour in and make it appear as if we are going down, Jesus is right there. Now, the fact that the Lord is sleeping shouldn't bother us. This detail doesn't mean that Jesus is being passive and just letting the storm overwhelm. What this means is that Jesus is modeling for us a level of peace, confidence, and tranquility from which we can learn. He was peaceful enough and had confidence enough in his Heavenly Father that he could even sleep in the middle of that storm. Those waves, when we're in those situations, need not overwhelm us or make us afraid. We should learn from the Lord that when the storms rage, we can even have such a sense of peace and confidence that we can doze off to sleep and know that we'll not simply survive, but triumph. The next thing is that they're in their distress, the disciples called on the Lord to act. Now, they were panicked. This panic mode is often the condition we're in when we call on the Lord. We try to bail the water ourselves, which means we normally try to handle the problem on our own and usually wear ourselves out in the process. And it is only when we appear as if we're going down that sometimes that's when we finally call on the Lord. So let's not wait until we're about to sink before we call on Jesus. Amen? So what happened? Jesus got up, rebuked the storm, and then said, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? This too is a lesson from which we can take comfort. You see, the disciples showed an incredible amount of fear, as you might understand, under those circumstances. They were terrified, and at the point that they finally cried out, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" The answer is, yes, he cares. But here's the detail from which we can take comfort. He didn't lecture them, nor did he rebuke them. He didn't say, "You pinheads, I'm tired of doing these miracles for you. All you've done is forget everything I've done for you, and so I'm through with you guys." He just said why they were afraid and why they showed that they had no faith. So in our moments of weakness, when we doubt or even when we panic, the Lord will simply remind us that He was and is with us all along, and that there was really never any need to be afraid. Now we see in this story, when the winds died down and the calm returned, their need was met, their answer came. But let's remember that we may not get our answer to the pleas from the Lord that are that dramatic, or actually the way for which we ask them. But there's one phrase in this story that we have to remember. And it's Jesus' first words in verse 35. "Let us go across to the other side." That's it. That's the key to the entire story. You say, huh? Let's go to the other side. Jesus stated that they were going to the other side. From these words, if the disciples had understood and remembered them, they could have been given peace of heart and mind to know that they were going to make it, because Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." It seems so simple, doesn't it? But that's the key to the entire story. You see, what they saw was the boat filling with water. They saw the waves. They felt the winds. They were soaked by the rain. That tumultuous storm scared them greatly. So much so that they did not remember that Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." They could have had the peace to know that not only would they survive, but that they were going to make it to their destination, because Jesus said it. It was going to happen. They were going to make it to the other side. Why? Because Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And when the Lord says it, He means it. And when the Lord says it, that's what's going to happen. So, we only experience panic like the disciples and are blown away, if you will, with fear when we get rattled, because we forget the words and the promises of the Lord that He's made to us. So let us make a resolution this morning not to be blown away, and remember God's word when we go through these storms in our everyday lives, because Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.